following interviews and commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
It's time again for Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio with the latest news and conversation related to firearms and your Second Amendment rights. Sponsored by Rogers Auto Repair, Arctic RV, Auto Trim Design, and Frontier Outfitters. And now, Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
Welcome, listeners. This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz, KFAR Radio. Please call in throughout the hour to join us, 458-8255-458-TALK. What is on your mind about firearms today? It is a great day in Fairbanks. The sun is shining and there's no smoke and the temperature is in the mid-50s today. And here at the KFA or broadcasting station, Melissa is expertly running the board. Thank you, Melissa. And of course, she's keeping the archives up to date. So if you miss a program, it should be accessible in the archives within a day or so. And this is such a gorgeous day. I'll bet some listeners are out catching up with outdoor activities, and that is what the archives are for. So what is on our agenda today? Let's start with a history discussion about Quentin Roosevelt, who was President Theodore Roosevelt's son and a lieutenant and pilot in his own right. And after that, I want to finish up last week's discussion on the new handgun permit laws the state of New York developed in response to the Supreme Court's June 23rd ruling. That ruling stated that Americans have a right to carry firearms in public for self-defense. And again, I pose the same questions to you that I did last week. Will the new rules allow more New Yorkers to own guns and obtain permits to carry firearms, or will the new rules hinder them? Will New York's new rules prevent crimes by mentally unstable people? And I asked these questions last week, and I am asking them again now. Criminals do not follow rules. Will the recent New York rules identify people who might suffer from mental illness and cause harm with their firearms? If a person is issued a permit to carry and later becomes mentally unstable, such that they should not have a firearm, will that fact be caught by the system and acted on? So after that discussion, I will try to finish up the second chapter of Dr. Gav Schneider's book, Can I See Your Hands? A Guide to Situational Awareness, Personal Risk Management, Resilience, and Security. And I'd like to move to Chapter 3, Applied Awareness, for me was an eye-opener of information, so we'll probably do that next week. Mark your calendars for Shooter's Corner on July 28th, that's in 2 weeks. We will have another Cowboy Hour program with honored guests Montana Kid Hammer and Barlow. And for those of you who don't escape into the wonderful world of cowboys and cowgirls, those guests would be Neil Weatherington and Don Logan. And don't tell anyone, but my cowgirl name is Pistol Shrimp. And not that our cowboy ancestors knew of Pistol Shrimp, but since I'm short and I like pistols, I thought that would be an appropriate name for me. And if nothing else, it's a conversation starter. So Kid Hammer will lead the hour focusing on guns used in cowboy action shooting. And he will tie this into information as it pertains to the SASS, S-A-S-S, the SASS requirements, rules, and regulations. And on July 28th, the acronym SASS, S-A-S-S, will stand for Single Action Shooting Society. And SASS is an international membership organization that preserves and promotes the sport of cowboy action shooting. It is a sanctioned body for that sport, but it could also stand for Stay Alert, Stay Safe, which is one thing Shooter's Corner is all about. So remember, SASS until our July 28th program, Stay Alert, Stay Safe, so you can tune in July 28th to hear Kid Hammer, who is Neil Weatherington, and Barlow, who is Don Logan, talk about cowboy action shooting guns and SASS, the Single Action Shooting Society requirements. And you can call in and ask any questions at all about cowboy shooting while Kid Hammer and Barlow are on the program. And I've got one more announcement. Chuck Indereaton, who runs C4 Training Group, is providing the only defensive handgun level 2 class that will be held this summer. The date is July 23rd and 24th, so that's coming up next week, July 23rd and 24th. If you have taken Chuck's Defensive Handgun Level 1 class, be sure and sign up for this Level 2 training. It's the follow-on class. If you missed the Level 1 class, call Chuck. His number is at his website, c4traininggroup.com, and discuss it with him. Chuck's Urban Rifle class is the following week, July 30th and 31st, and I'll bet some of you will enjoy that class. So check c4traininggroup.com for more information. You can call Chuck. His number's on there. Remember, Chuck teaches life-saving skills classes right here in Fairbanks, and I highly recommend him. So today is July 14th, Bastille Day in France. In 1789, French revolutionaries stormed and gained control of a medieval fortress and political prison called the Bastille. And the act was in protest of the French monarchy's abuse of power. And that is a footnote in time, because we're going to talk about something else, unrelated, that happened to take place on that same day, but in a different year in history. It was also on July 14th, Bastille Day, that Lieutenant Quentin Roosevelt was shot down in aerial combat over France in 1918 during World War I. And Quentin Roosevelt was born November 19, 1887, the youngest son of President Theodore Roosevelt and First Lady Edith Roosevelt. And he is the only child of a United States president to have died in combat, of a sitting United States president to have died in combat. Quentin was 4 years old when his father was elected president. And it's said that Quentin was his father's favorite child and the most rambunctious of all the children in the family. And that rambunctiousness may not have served him as well when he got older. President Roosevelt called Quentin and his friends, mischievous as they were, the White House gang. And from Wikipedia, quote, Quentin carved a baseball diamond on the White House lawn without permission, defaced official presidential portraits in the White House with spitballs, threw snowballs from the White House's roof at unsuspecting Secret Service guards, and occasionally rode on top of the family elevator with his friend Charlie Taft, the son of Secretary of War and future President William Howard Taft. And once, when his brother Archie was terribly ill, it was Quentin, with the help of Charles Lee, a White House coachman, who brought the pony Algonquin to his room by elevator, sure that this would make his brother smile. Now, Quentin was accepted into Harvard in 1915. He soon got engaged to the daughter of Harry Payne Whitney and Gertrude Vanderbilt of the very wealthy Vanderbilt family. But he dropped out of Harvard in May of 1917 to join the 1st Reserve Aero Squadron, which was the first air reserve unit in our nation. In his memoirs, Captain Eddie Rickenbacker described Quentin's character in part as follows, quote, gay, hearty, and absolutely square in everything he said or did, Quentin Roosevelt was one of the most popular fellows in the group. We loved him purely for his own natural self. He was reckless to such a degree that his commanding officers had to caution him repeatedly about his senselessness, of his lack of caution. His bravery was so notorious that we all knew he would either achieve some great spectacular success or be killed in the attempt. Even the pilots in his own flight would beg him to conserve himself and wait for a fair opportunity for a victory. But Quentin would merely laugh away all the serious advice, unquote. So Quentin had one confirmed kill of a German aircraft, which he shot down on July 10, 1918. Quote, 4 days later, in a massive aerial engagement at the commencement of the Second Battle of Marne, he was himself shot down behind German lines, unquote. Lieutenant Quentin Roosevelt had been struck in the head by two German machine gun bullets. And a book Quentin's brother Kermit published sometime later, titled Quentin Roosevelt, A Sketch with Letters, contained a letter from one of Quentin's fellow American pilots, a Lieutenant Edward Bulford. And we're going to go to break before I start that quote, and I'll read it to you right after this. Mm-hmm.
for us Alaskans. There's gardens to grow, fish to catch, building projects, adventures, and preparing for next winter. Auto Trim Design can help you with Arctic Spray on bed liners to help protect your bed, mud flaps, floor mats, running boards, Lear and ARA toppers, tonneau covers, moose lights, paint protection film, and much more. Get your auto starter moose lights installed today and beat the fall rush at Auto Trim Design.
As we always say, we will be here when the other guys are gone.
Whether you're flying or boating into your favorite fishing hole or just driving to the lake, make Frontier Outfitters your first stop for all the fishing gear, licenses, permits, and stamps you'll need. Frontier's extensive fishing department has the conventional, fly, or saltwater tackle for every game fish in Alaska's streams, rivers, lakes, and ocean habitats. Rods and reels, lures and natural bait, lines and nets, dip netting supplies, even sunglasses. Frontier Outfitters has what you need for your successful trip, plus marine parts and equipment downstairs at Century Hardware. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle. The Valdez Fishing Report is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Heading out for some weekend fishing? Make sure your vehicle's ready for the trip. Stop by your local Fairbanks Jiffy Lube for oil changes, transmission services, air filters, and much more. That's a job for Jiffy.
KVAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
Lori Prox here with Nate Hammond of Laurel, Maryland. You caught a fish weighing just over 100 pounds and got on the leaderboard in the Valdez Halibut Derby for a short time, but we're catching you at the airport as you're checking in a box of fish. So that's pretty good news, right, Nate?
It's very good news. I consider myself Nate the reluctant sportsman because I don't fish. I mean, my wife got into it, and she's dragged me along on all these trips, and she has a good friend who's like a fishing expert. So they're like, we're going to Alaska, and we're going to fish halibut at Valdez. So that's what we did.
And you caught the biggest fish?
Yes, that's why it's hilarity. That's why I think we live in an irony machine, because I'm not a fisherman. I'm a computer programmer with a wife that fishes.
I love that. We live in an irony machine, and you are now a reluctant angler heading back to Maryland with a whole lot of fish. Tell me about the experience, though. Are you a convert? Did we convert you?
It's fun. I'm not like a fishing fanatic at this point, but you know, it's neat to be out on the boat, and it was so calm. The sea's like glass, and it's just relaxing. You're sitting there and you're looking at the mountains all around you. Beautiful, really beautiful, and the water, and it's just a real relaxing atmosphere.
Hi, this is Donna Waller of Easy Freeze in Valdez. I would like to encourage all you folks to give Easy Freeze a try. You spend a lot of time and effort catching your fish in Valdez, so why not vacuum pack and freeze them at Easy Freeze so they will stay fresher through the winter? I used to do it myself, and there is a big difference. Give Easy Freeze a try. You'll never go back.
KVAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
The Valdez Fishing Report is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Heading to your favorite fishing hole? Get your vehicle ready for the trip. Swing by your local Fairbanks Jiffy Lube for oil changes and much more. You never need an appointment at Jiffy Lube. Total car care. That's a job for Jiffy.
KFAR weather.
Partly cloudy today with highs around 69. Winds out of the northwest 5 to 10 miles an hour. Partly cloudy skies tonight. Lows level off around 48. Cloudy skies tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 70. Mid-60s Saturday. Upper 60s by Sunday. That's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Streaming live at KFARradio.com.
This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz, KFAR Radio. Please call in at 458-8255, 458-TALK, and let us know what's on your mind about firearms today. So, I'm talking about a fellow American pilot who wrote home about the situation with Quentin Roosevelt. So on September 5th, 1918, this Buford, it's Edward Buford, Lieutenant Edward Buford, wrote home to his father. And I pulled a partial quote. "Father dear, you asked me if I knew Quentin Roosevelt. Yes, I knew him very well indeed, and he has been associated associated with him ever since I came to France, and he was one of the finest and most courageous boys I ever knew. I was in the fight when he was shot down and saw the whole thing. four of us were out on an early patrol when we ran into Fokker Chase planes. They had the altitude and the advantage of the sun on us. It was very cloudy, and there was a strong wind blowing us further across the lines all the time. The leader of our formation turned and tried to get back out, but they attacked before we reached the lines, and in a few seconds had completely broken up our formation, and the fight developed into a general free-for-all. About half a mile away, I saw one of our planes with three, and he used a contemptuous term for the German soldiers, and I won't repeat it, on him, and he seemed to have been having a pretty hard time with them. So I shook the two I was maneuvering with and tried to get over to him, but before I could reach him, his machine turned over on its back and plunged down out of control. I realized I was too late to be of any assistance. Of course, at the time of the flight, I did not know who the pilot was that I had seen go down, but as Quinton did not come back, it must have been him, unquote. And here's the aftermath story. Quote, the German military aviators buried him with full battlefield honors. Since the plane had crashed so near the front lines, they used two pieces of basswood sapling bound together with wire from his Newport 28 to fashion a cross for his grave. For propaganda purposes, they made a postcard of the dead pilot and his plane. However, this was met with shock in Germany, which still held Theodore Roosevelt in high respect and was impressed that a former president's son died on active duty, unquote. The Newport 28 was a French biplane fighter aircraft flown in World War I, and the postcard photographed mentioned in the quote can be found online if you Google Quinton Roosevelt plane crash and take the link for images. That one will come up. It's said that the Germans preserved Lieutenant Quinton Roosevelt's personal effects to return to his family. And there are several other first-hand witness reports via letters written at the time about both the aerial fight and the honorable burial given to Lieutenant Roosevelt. About the burial, a description was written by a Captain James E. G. of the 110th Infantry, who had been captured by the Germans. He was being evacuated to the rear on July 15th. That was the day after Lieutenant Roosevelt was shot down. And Captain G. is moving through Chamery, the village near where Roosevelt's plane was down. So here's a quote. In a hollow square around the open grave were assembled approximately 1,000 German soldiers standing stiffly in regular lines. They were dressed in field gray uniforms, wore steel helmets, and carried rifles. Near the grave was a smashed plane, and beside it was a small group of officers, one of whom was speaking to the men. I did not pass close enough to hear what he was saying. We were prisoners and did not have the privilege of lingering, even for an occasion as this. At the time, I did not know who was being buried, but the guards informed me later. The funeral certainly was elaborate. I was told afterward by Germans that they paid Lieutenant Roosevelt such honor, not only because he was a gallant aviator who died fighting bravely against odds, but because he was the son of Colonel Roosevelt, whom they esteemed as one of the greatest Americans. So it's not known which German pilot shot Lieutenant Quinton Roosevelt down, but it's said to be one of three German pilots. One pilot who is normally credited with downing Roosevelt, he never claimed the kill. And two other German pilots did claim the kill, but neither can be absolutely confirmed, just that they may have been in a dogfight with Lieutenant Roosevelt. So that ends the story, and I'm going to move on here. Last week, I started to talk about the June 23rd Supreme Court ruling that Americans have a right to carry firearms in public for self-defense and New York's new rules. And I mentioned that at the time, before the ruling, we had 43 states with shall issue statutes, and that includes Virginia. Virginia has constitutional carry, but no option of getting a permit. And we have six states that had may issue, including the District of Columbia, that had may issue in their statutes. And those six states must change their issue requirements to shall issue But they have some leeway to create their own requirements to issue a permit to own and carry a handgun. And last week, I said New York very quickly after the court ruling got to work passing a law with new requirements for New Yorkers to purchase a handgun without having to justify their need for specific self-defense situations. And this week, a friend who in the past lived in New York and was issued a concealed carry permit emailed me to explain how the process worked then. If a person wanted to purchase or possess a handgun in New York, they first had to have the permit. And that person would have had to go through the permit process first. And next, they would go to the gun store to buy the handgun. But they didn't get to take possession of it just yet. They would next take the receipt for the handgun they purchased and certain other information about the gun to the sheriff's office. And the sheriff's office would run another background check on the person who already attained their permit and just purchased the gun. And then the sheriff's office would add the handgun information to the permit documentation. And now the person can go back to the gun store with the receipt in hand and take possession of the handgun. So having a handgun in your possession without a proper permit for it in New York is a felony. And I hope I've explained that procedure correctly, but if I have not, I hope my friend calls in to clarify. So with that new information, let's continue our discussion about New York's new rules. And remember, my question to you last week was, and still is, do you think New York's new law meets the Supreme Court's intent that Americans have a right to carry firearms in public for self-defense? And do you think it will be litigated? So there were six main elements of New York's rules. The new rules, we covered numbers 1 and 2 last week. Number 1 was expanding on eligibility requirements in the handgun ownership and concealed carry permitting process, including completed firearms training courses for applicants. And I said New York plans to require 16 hours of gun safety course and 2 hours of shooting practice at a range. We talked about that 18 hours of training and the hurdle in both time and likely costs that would be incurred by New Yorkers. And we talked about number 2, allowing the state, New York, to regulate and standardize training for license applicants. And so now I'll pick up where we left off on number 3, which is restricting the carrying of concealed weapons in sensitive locations and establishing that private property owners must expressly allow a person to possess a firearm, rifle, or shotgun on their property. Individuals who carry concealed weapons in sensitive locations or in contravention of the authority of an owner of private property will face criminal penalties. New York has listed 15 places a person may not carry. Alaska statutes has 6 places we cannot carry. Now, I've grouped these. I'm going to read them to you. I grouped these with the first 6 together because we have similar rules in Alaska, and the others we do not have. States make their own decisions about where one can carry a handgun, concealed or not. So some of New York's list might not be unique with other states, but it's certainly more restrictive than what we have here in Alaska. So the sensitive locations are listed as airports, bars and restaurants that serve alcohol, courthouses, daycare facilities, playgrounds, and other locations where children gather, educational institutions, and number 6 is emergency shelters, including domestic violence shelters and homeless shelters. So now I'll get to the ones that don't quite mesh with what we have here in Alaska. Entertainment venues. They can't carry in New York in entertainment venues. Federal, state, and local government buildings. Health and medical facilities, houses of worship, libraries, polling sites, public demonstrations and rallies. Public transportation, including subways and buses. And folks, this is a big one because public transportation is one place in New York City and other urban areas where you do want to have protection. And the last one is Times Square. Again, 15 places you cannot carry. We have 6. And just to remind all of us where we can and can't cannot carry in Alaska. 1, we cannot carry private and public schools and grounds, kindergarten through 12th grade. This is Alaska, I'm letting you know now. Bars, if the liquor license says a bar, you cannot carry concealed inside. You can carry open and empty. and the staff is within their rights to secure your gun behind the counter. I don't know why you would want to do that. You can carry into a restaurant that serves alcohol as long as you are not drinking. And if you can tell the establishment, you can tell it is a restaurant that serves alcohol and not a bar by checking its liquor license. If the license says restaurant, then it's a restaurant that serves liquor. If it's a bar, it will say bar, and you cannot carry concealed in that establishment. Do not drink there. If it's a restaurant that serves liquor and you're there carrying, do not drink while you're there. In fact, never drink when you are carrying or around firearms. Domestic violence shelters that receive funding from the state, you can't carry in Alaska there. Private homes, unless you have express permission of an adult living there. Licensed child care facilities or licensed assisted living homes for the elderly. And of course, the Alaska court system, you can't carry into the courthouses. Okay, we're gonna go to our half hour break and I will continue around the corner.
Out in Arizona where the bad men are, the only thing to guide you is an evening star. The roughest, toughest man by far was Ragtime Cowboy Joe. He got his name from singing to the cows and sheep. Every night they say he sings a herd to sleep.
In a bass voice rich and deep, crooning soft and low.
He always sings raggedy music to the cattle as he swings back and forward in his saddle on a horse that is syncopated, gated. There is such a funny meter to the roar.
Tanana Herb Company makes great times even better, sponsoring the KFAR live stream at KFAR.
News. I'm Steve Rappaport. President Biden and Israel's prime minister declaring they will not allow Iran to become a nuclear power, but they disagree on how to achieve that objective.
I continue to believe that diplomacy is the best way to achieve this outcome.
The Israeli prime minister told President Biden while he was standing right next to him that all this talk about diplomacy and a new Iran nuclear deal might not stop Iran from pursuing a nuclear weapon.
Fox's Peter Doocy. The president heads to Saudi Arabia tomorrow. House Democrats pushing legislation to protect abortion rights after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
Tomorrow we'll pass the Women's Health Protection Act, voting for a second time on this legislation to make the protections of Roe v. Wade the law of the land.
But the measure lacks the necessary votes to overcome a Republican filibuster in the Senate. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Six more lightning-caused fires were detected Tuesday in the Tanana Zone that covers central Alaska. Of those, two are staffed. Elephant Fire, number 561, is 128 acres. Once detected, several aircraft and 12 smoke jumpers were immediately assigned, and coupled with the precipitation that was received yesterday, they were able to make some good progress. Mission Fire is located roughly 7 miles northwest of the town of Tanana and is approximately 10 acres and is situated within an area burned in 2015. Fire managers do not anticipate much growth and are going to monitor the fire for the next several operation periods before committing resources. Goldpan Fire is 5 acres, located approximately 8.5 miles south of Rampart. Cosna Bluff is about 20 miles southwest of Manly Hot Springs on the north side of the Tanana River. Moose Creek is just 0.1 acres and located approximately 13 miles northwest of Rampart and is being closely monitored. And Fort Hamlin Hills is 5 acres, approximately 14 miles north, where the Dalton Highway intersects the Yukon River and is being closely monitored. Go to akfireinfo.com.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
While you're out playing in Alaska, don't just rough it. Rough it in style with Arctic RV. Your RV is your magic carpet to the Alaskan dream. Keep it flying with service and the largest selection of parts in the interior. See row after row of every RV part and gadget you can imagine in Arctic RV's huge showroom. Schedule your appointment with Arctic RV for local service on all RVs. Rough it in style. Arctic RV is your hometown RV sales and service at 30th and Pegger.
Except for us Alaskans, there's gardens to grow, fish to catch, building projects, adventures, and preparing for next winter. Auto Trim Design can help you with Arctic Spray on bed liners to help protect your bed, mud flaps, floor mats, running boards, Lear and ARA toppers, tonneau covers, moose lights, paint protection film, and much more. Get your auto starter moose lights installed today and beat the fall rush at Auto Trim Design.
As we always say, we will be here when the other guys are gone.
And now, back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM.
streaming live at KFARradio.com.
This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz, KFAR Radio. Call in at 458-8255-458-TALK and let us know what's on your mind about firearms today. So as far as number one on that list, airports, in Alaska, we can carry into airports. We just cannot carry past security, of course.
We have a caller.
Yes. Okay, caller, you are on the line.
Hey, Laura, this is Ron.
Hi, Ron.
To inject a little facetiousness, if that's a word.
Yes.
I would suggest that New York could probably save the taxpayers a great deal of money in paper and ink by simply making a list of places you can carry.
I totally agree with you, and I'm going to make a few comments about that in a little while. This is going to be very, very interesting.
Ron, I thoroughly enjoy when you call,
yeah.
Thank you, Melissa. I enjoy you also.
Yes, you add reality to the commentary.
I would just also retrogress a bit to many years ago when I was working in Barrow. Joe had just recently brought his traveling road show up there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I went through the class, and that was following the protracted arguing within the legislature, and finally, I believe, acting in the stead of Governor Hickle, Jack Coghill signed the
bill
on the way out of office.
Yes. Yes, and wasn't that, I think Joe has always told me that it was signed here in Fairbanks at TVSA?
That could well be the case. I would also share just a quick experience. Shortly after that class, I was talking with one of the public safety officers who was in my office discussing something or other, and we were talking about it, and he said he wasn't going to bother with it, and I said, well, what about when you retire? And he said, well, I guess I'll just have to be an outlaw.
I'm so glad you brought that up about Joe teaching in Barrow, because he taught, you know, the listeners may not know, he traveled all over the state and taught this class. Yeah, he...
And in fact, the classroom was at the public safety building in Barrow.
Oh, how about that? How about that? Oh, these old stories are great.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye. Okay. I just wanted to say that in a few months, I'll take a look at the New York rules. I think they have a lot of administrative work that probably needs to write out the details. And so give them a few months, and I'll take another look at it when I can get a hold of this. And I'm not sure if New York's new law will prohibit carrying in airport lobbies or not. There's a lot of state money that goes into building airports, so the states get to make the rules. So back to New York, there's this issue, quote, the law also makes no carry the default. So, Ron, you called in right at the right time. The law makes no carry the default for private property unless deemed permissible by property owners. This gives power to business and property owners to decide whether or not they want guns in their establishments, which could include bars, restaurants, shops, or grocery stores. And I'm not sure about the bars. That's in this commentary. But I don't know if New York is prohibiting you going into a bar carrying or not. So that I'll have to figure that out in a month or so. Property owners who do decide to allow concealed carry will have to disclose with signage saying concealed carry is allowed on the premises. This allows people to make an informed decision on whether or not they want to be in a space where people could potentially be carrying a weapon, unquote. So here in Alaska, carrying open or concealed into private property is by default, unless it's a private home. In a private home, it's called the private home. The private home rule applies. You need to have express permission from an adult in that home to allow you to carry in there. You're supposed to ask before you enter. In Alaska, if a private business does not want you to carry, that can have nothing to do with our concealed carry permits. If they don't want you to carry, they post a sign saying no guns allowed, and it's a trespass issue. If they ask you to leave and you do not leave, they can have you trespassed out. In New York, it's going to be just the opposite. There needs to be a sign that you can enter in the first place if you have your firearm on you. And New York is directly opposite of Alaska. So here, we, in Alaska, we're all but the majority of us who carry make informed decisions. We do want to be in a place where people carry. We do not want to be in gun-free zones if possible. And why is that? Because the bad guys don't follow the laws. They don't care about the signs. And that's exactly where the bad guys are going to go, to the soft targets, to the gun-free zones. And in New York, the bad guys will likely cause mayhem in the store that does not invite patrons who carry concealed handguns inside. And I personally am thinking the property owner may incur liability if they allow patrons to carry concealed in their business and a shooting incident happens. I don't know that for sure, though. I don't know what New York's laws are going to be. I suspect many private businesses will not post that those who carry are welcome. So between not being able to carry on the subways and public transportation and potentially not being able to enter businesses when you need stuff and potentially not even being able to carry at a grocery store, how is this upholding the spirit of the Supreme Court ruling?
Yeah, we have a caller.
Okay. Caller, you're on the line.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the line.
Hi, my name's Fred.
Hi, Fred.
I'm calling in in reference to the New York situation, the New York law.
Yes.
Apparently, you know, this is nothing more than just liberal, progressive, punitive bullying.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is. You know, they're just trying to make it more and more difficult for people to exercise their Second Amendment rights. And anything they can do, you know, they will do. Every underhanded trick, every backslap, you know, anything they can do to mess you up, they will definitely employ it.
I agree that that's where this is going. Yep.
And it's all political. It's all policy. It's all Biden saying, "I'm going to get your AR-15." In Buttigieg, I'm going to get your assault weapon,
mm-hmm.
and your magazines, and your this and your that. It's just chipping away at the Second Amendment. If they really want to do anything, which they don't really want to do anything, but
right.
if they really wanted to do anything, you go after the criminal element and those who break the law, those who violate the firearms laws that are on the books. And if they were enforced, you wouldn't have any kind of a gun violence issue, because it's really not gun violence. It's just violence, period, by any means.
Yes.
But they don't want to address
yes.
that. They don't want to address that. They just want to go after the Second Amendment and your rights. And I think there's
yeah.
a lot of people who are behind this and pushing it and throwing a lot of money into it. And I don't have to name names, but I think those people are. You know, and they are the driving force and motivation behind it. I would even go so far as to say, in my own opinion,
mm-hmm.
that they're behind the school shootings. They probably went out and through channels and money laundering and this and that and the other thing, finding people to go scout out crazies and provide them the resources to do it. I mean, that's just my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I'm the only one saying.
Yeah.
And it's not tinfoil hat time, as far as I'm concerned. That's a very real possibility connected
yeah.
to that.
Yeah. Well, I agree. I don't know about the second part, what you just said, but I do agree with the first part of what you just said. And I'm going to keep an eye on this just for my general knowledge. And in a few months, I want to take a look at what the administrative rules, what they've written, and see how this plays out, because I think this is going to end up in the courts again. There's plenty of money.
Well, I would say that the businesses that do not allow carry, now, as far as, like, you know, the federal law, you know, post offices, courthouses, schools,
mm-hmm.
that I understand. That's the federal law. That's the way they want to have it. That's the way they got it. However, private businesses, I would say if you don't allow it on your premises, you know, it's your right to do so. However, you should assume the liability.
So well, that's, yeah.
A restaurant, something happens, and you had the right to carry a gun but couldn't act because they didn't want you, they should be held liable, and you'll be sitting before a judge and a jury and a plaintiff and a defendant, and it's going to go down, and you're probably going to get sued heavily.
Well, this is going to be it's going to be very interesting to see how this all plays out. And this is just New York. There's a few other states we should probably be watching, too, in the future. But let me get back to this reading. And I very much appreciate what you said, and I very much agree with the first part of what you said. So thank you.
All right.
Thank
Bye.
You very much.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Well, after Chuck was on the other day, my head just hurts trying to think about how gas stations are going to handle this on their private property.
Geez.
okay? You can't even drive around, drive up to the gas station with your gun in your car, your gun on your person. And folks, for the thousands and thousands of New Yorkers who commute via subway into the city each day, not to worry, because you won't be able to carry a firearm on the subway, so you will not have any way to protect yourself in the city. This whole thing is making less and less sense to me as we go on. We're going to go to a break here, and I'm going to finish up my discussion after that.
So far up that river that you need an airboat, that is very far. You've got to make sure that airboat is in perfect working order before you leave. 100%. You know what I mean? Call Rogers Auto Repair. They know airboat maintenance because they've been using and maintaining airboats for decades. Rogers will put your airboat in top shape before you disappear up your favorite skinny little creek in Alaska's wilderness. Give them a call. Rogers Auto Repair. Call 479-6665.
Enter to win today. You could win one of 10 guns from Frontier Outfitters. The Frontier Outfitters Summer of Guns giveaway is back. 10 guns, 10 drawings, 10 opportunities for you to win one of two Citadel shotguns or 8 Ruger rifles being given away between June 16th and August 11th. Enter the drawings today at Frontier Outfitters. It's the Summer of Guns giveaway. Visit the store for all the details and sign up to win today. Your store for the outdoors. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
Except for us Alaskans, there's gardens to grow, fish to catch, building projects, adventures, and preparing for next winter. Auto Trim Design can help you with Arctic Spray on bed liners to help protect your bed, mud flaps, floor mats, running boards, Lear and ARA toppers, tonneau covers, moose lights, paint protection film, and much more. Get your auto starter moose lights installed today and beat the fall rush at Auto Trim Design.
As we always say, we will be here when the other guys are gone.
Weather This Hour brought to you by Long Building Technologies. Make your building the smartest around. Call Long today to find out about their building intelligence systems that will save you money. 561-3044. Or find out more at long.com.
KFAR Weather.
Areas of smoke today, otherwise skies become mostly sunny with a high in the upper 60s. Winds out of the northwest around 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy and a low near 48. By Friday, mostly cloudy skies, a high around 70 degrees. And Saturday, a chance for some showers here, cloudy high of 64. And that's your weather on KFAR, 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Streaming live at KFARradio.com.
This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz, KFAR Radio. Please call in 458-8255-458-TALK and let us know what's on your mind about firearms today. And Ron and Fred, I appreciated both of your calls. Both of you make excellent points. Where did I leave off here? Okay, number four, establishing state oversight over background checks for firearms and regular checks on license holders for criminal convictions. What is intended here is expanding eligibility requirements for permit applicants. Quote, expanded application requirements include character references, firearm safety training courses, live fire testing, and background checks. Additionally, applicants who have documented instances of violent behavior will be disqualified from obtaining a concealed carry permit. Disqualifying criteria also includes misdemeanor convictions for weapons possession and menacing, recent treatment for drug-related reasons, and for alcohol-related misdemeanor convictions, unquote. The character reference check, the other ones are fine, but the character reference check is something we do not have in Alaska. And like I said, the rest of those rules are plausible to me. However, the criminals will likely not be applying for a concealed carry permit. New York will not be keeping guns out of the hands of criminals with their requirements. And this goes back to what Fred was just talking about. For people with mental illness who decide to commit crime, they can likely get a firearm on the underground market or steal one from family. And I personally think social media is a problem, and broadcasting ill intent on social media should be paid attention to. I'm just not sure how that can be done effectively. And clearly, if a family member supports another family member's questionable behavior, law enforcement will at least reports their another family member's questionable behavior. Law enforcement will at least look into it. I really don't know what law enforcement can do in the area of social media. In another discussion for another time, and for someone who knows more than I do, that would be a good topic. Number five, creating a statewide license and ammunition database. Now, that's interesting. New York will have oversight over their background checks for firearms and regular checks on license holders for criminal convictions. And I personally think that's okay for background checks, as long as we realize those state background checks will go beyond the checks conducted by the National Instant Criminal Background Check System, which is the NICS system maintained by the FBI. And according to the article, NICS does not have access to, quote, crucial state-owned and local-owned records, database and databases that provide a more accurate assessment of the applicant's background. Research has found that states that perform their own background checks instead of solely using the federal database experience 27% lower firearm suicide rates and 22% lower firearms homicide rates, unquote. And I have a link for the source of those percentages. They're from the American Journal of Preventive Medicine, but I did not review the article titled Firearm Death Rates in Association with Level of Firearm Purchase Background Check. On the part about the background checks, New York legislation requires background checks for ammunition and creates a statewide license and ammunition database. And I wonder what that ammunition database will be used for. Will they limit how much ammunition an individual can own or purchase? Will they only allow the purchase of ammunition in a caliber of the individual's licensed firearm? I don't know. Can someone purchase ammunition if they do not have a handgun permit? This would allow the purchase of ammunition for an illegally obtained gun. So that's something I'll look at in a couple months when they've ironed out all their administrative rules. Number six, and the last one, is strengthening and clarifying the law relating to the sale of body armor, including hard body armor, such as the type worn by the suspect in the Buffalo shooting, and the safe storage of firearms. And I'll be curious to find out what New York's new rules will be for safe storage of firearms, what they'll look like. So if you are denied a permit, an appeals board will be created for those applicants whose license or renewal is denied or revoked, and that will take effect on April 1st, 2023. And if you have any more comments about New York's new rules, just share your thoughts with us. Right now, I don't have any more details except just those broad categories. And thank you to those of you who have already shared your opinions on this. Now, I'm going to move on. I'm not going to have time to get too deep into Dr. Schneider's book, but I'm going to do quite a bit of talking about it next week because I want to get on with it. He references what we left off on the 23rd, talking about how Dr. Schneider wants to help us understand and dissect the way a violent attack occurs. And he refers to them as the five concepts of real-world violence. So let's just do a really short review. And these concepts that we have found most commonly, this is a quote, these concepts that we have found most commonly in the way that effective combative martial arts or self-defense systems are taught, the key concepts determine how people should defend themselves based on the way that most attackers select and attack their victims. It's important for us when we look at how we actually protect ourselves to understand these core concepts. And I'm going over what we talked about on the 23rd so that we can go from this point forward and have some memory. Dr. Schneider then tells us that the five concepts of real-world violence are The evaluation criteria that we should use to, quote, measure a defensive system in terms of whether it is preparing its students to deal with real violence or not, unquote. So if you remember the five concepts, I'll read them. They were no rules, multiple attackers, weaponry, grappling, and mobility for survival. And on the 23rd, we talked about the concept number one of no rules, so I won't take much time to reiterate it, except to remind us that the bad guys disregard the law and disregard your physical well-being. Bad guys do not play by the rules. If you fight back with rules, you're going to limit yourself. You'll be at a disadvantage because your attacker is not bound by any rules. We had a caller call in with an example of an incident he experienced at a gas station when he fought back and with no rules, and he should have. That's exactly what he should have done. And remember, you need to understand the statutes as to what you can and can't do to defend yourself, but within those parameters, you need to fight back however you can. I'm telling you this, Dr. Schneider would tell you, fight back however you can, regardless of the statutes. We discussed Dr. Schneider's concept that there are two reasons for a violent altercation, ego-based and survival-based, and he explained if we keep our ego in check and do not respond to any based attack using our ego as a reason to enter a fight, then our only reason for ever having to resort to violence would be for survival-based reasons. So I ended that June 23rd program with this quote. It's a survival-based reason. If it's a survival-based reason, the core strategy is for you to get out of there and escape. But if that's not possible, then fighting back may be your only option. This leads to the run, hide, fight, communicate, RHFC approach, and to adrenal response management, ARM, unquote. So now on to some new material. Dr. Schneider discusses adrenal response management later in the book, except for a short discussion on balance, which I'll get to in a few minutes, and if I don't get to it now, we'll definitely get to it next week. Dr. Schneider explains that our first or primary action in perceiving of or being attacked should be to run and escape. If we could not escape, then our second choice would be to hide or shelter. If we could not escape or shelter, then our goal would be to survive the attack. Quote, which would involve fighting with everything you have, or in some cases, cooperating with an attacker to ensure that you can stay alive long enough to hopefully get rescued or released, or at the very minimum, find a better opportunity to fight back than may be currently available, unquote. Especially in your home, and again, I come back to the preparation of safe rooms. If your home is invaded, can you escape? How do you know that there are not more bad guys waiting for you outside? It might be best to move into your safe room and call the authorities from there. If not, you're going to have to survive the ordeal. And Dr. Schneider goes beyond thinking everyone has a firearm on them that they can use. Quote, the bottom line is, if it's a survival-based incident and you can't run, hide, or avoid it, the concept of no rules is a crucial survival mentality. If you go into a survival-based situation with the perception that there are rules and guidelines, you're always going to be on the back foot dealing with an attacker who is not bound by the same perceived limitations. Whilst this certainly does not mean that we disregard the law, if your life is on the line, what do you have to lose? Unquote. So moving on, let's discuss concept two, multiple attackers. Dr. Schneider tells us people rarely get violently attacked by one person from the front and when we're ready to defend ourselves. Quote, as such, the next core concept of real-world violence is the principle of multiple attackers, unquote. And multiple attackers, number two of the five concepts of real-world violence. According to Dr. Schneider, the problem is that most martial arts training classes and in most defensive training systems, we typically learn to defend ourselves from one attacker. And that attacker in our training scenario is coming at us from the front. Engagement with this imaginary training attacker happens when we get a signal, like a bell ringing or a buzzer sounding. Quote, in reality, we get attacked from the sides and the back when we are unprepared, usually by more than one attacker. While it is it's challenging to defend against just one, defending against two or three is achievable, albeit difficult. If you ignore this reality, your ability to respond is significantly compromised, unquote. So how many of you practice with a multiple attacker scenario? A few years ago, I reviewed material on Shooter's Corner, and I can do it again in the coming months. It was from the NRA Personal Protection Outside the Home textbook and class. Training with multiple attacker scenarios means you have to set up your targets in different footages and equip each target or draw on it various objects of attack. You might have three cardboard assailants at different footages or at different angle positions, one with a firearm, one with a bat, and one with a knife. Which would you engage first? Likely the one with the firearm, depending on the distance from you. And I'm going to have to stop here because we're running out of time, but just think about it over this next week. How would you practice a scenario where there were multiple attackers and you were on a range with a firing line and you couldn't fire to the side or behind you? Just think about the training for that. And we will talk next week.
This has been Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio. Brought to you by Rogers Auto Repair, Arctic RV, Auto Trim Design, and Frontier Outfitters. To listen back to this or past episodes of Shooter's Corner, go to KFARradio.com and click on the archives page. For more Shooter's Corner on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.